like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Getting into that song. If you guys don't know who Kim Walker is, check her out on iTunes or Spotify. She's awesome. She's an amazing worship artist. Just really connects me personally. Awesome. So how you guys doing today? Getting the last of the warm weather before Thanksgiving. Coming up quick. I got my tree up yesterday, as a matter of fact. I'm ahead of the curve. I think my wife must work in retail or something. I don't know. We just got my house all decorated for Christmas already. I don't know. It's kind of messing me up a little bit, but hey, I'm in the spirit. All right, let's stand up. We're going to worship God. This song is called Counting on God, you know, and I think sometimes we just count on God when it's convenient. But, you know, we got to count on God all the time. Having a relationship with Christ is a constant, ongoing counting on all the time. One, two, three, four. Clap your hands. Worship God. We're here for you, Lord.
I'm in a fight, not physical. I'm in a war, but not with this world. You are the light that's beautiful. I want more. I want all that's yours.
Sing it out.
Joy unspeakable that won't go away. And just enough strength to live for today. So I'll never, ever worry what tomorrow will bring. But my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on.
You guys are raising your hand. That was lame. You're the ones who did it. All right? So I don't know. I think they need another Joy Unspeakable and Counting on God. What do you think, Wayne?
I think so.
All right. So you better do it again or this is going to be the service today, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get your hands clapping.
Much better. Let me see it.
right, good morning, everyone. Good morning. All right, welcome to Haven Community Church. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We all believe here that you are not here by accident, so we hope God touches you in a mighty way. If you are visiting with us today, please visit me out in the out this door after church. I've got a small gift for you and would love to welcome you to our church. So a couple announcements for you. You all have these in your bulletins, but there's a couple things I want to bring to your attention. Number one is the Sunday School Christmas pageant reminder. If your child is going to be participating in that, you need to, there were slips handed out last week. You need to get with Teresa Barton, who's not in the room right now, but, oh, there she is. She was hiding. You need to get with Teresa today and get your child signed up to participate in that. That should be really great. It's going to be on the 22nd of December. And so please take a look at that. The next rehearsal is after church on the 24th next week. So please plug into that if you can. The second thing is Operation Christmas Child. Yay, we're starting to see some nice boxes up here. And we have a video that's going to come. But let me make a quick announcement before we do that. We got 1 week countdown on Operation Christmas Child. So if you've not packed your box, please do so. And also, the Sunday School will be putting together some boxes next week. So they're looking for donations of items. You can look either online, the link is there, or in these little flyers here, there's a list of what kinds of items we need right there in the middle. So please take a look, and if you feel led to help out with that, please do. Do you want to do the video now? Yes, sure. Those items, as well as the boxes to pack them in as well, would be great if you could help with donations on that. Do you want to show the video of that now?
Yeah.
And now it's time for How to Pack a Shoebox with Bob and Larry. The part of the show where Bob and Larry come out and pack a shoebox.
Howdy, kids. I'm Larry the Cucumber.
And I'm Bob the Tomato. And we're here to tell you about Operation Christmas Child and how you can pack a shoebox full of gifts that'll go to a child in another country.
It's a great way to remind them that they're special and loved by God and about the real meaning of Christmas, the birth of Jesus.
Let's get started.
Nice ball.
I love these. I've got tons of them. Little help?
Sure. I put together something I think I'll help. Roll film, Cordy.
I meant with the ball.
The first thing you'll need to pack a shoebox for Operation Christmas Child is a shoebox. What can I say? I like to collect shoeboxes. Decide if you want your gift to go to a boy or a girl, ages 2 to 4, 5 to 9, or 10 to 14. Have an adult help you go to SamaritansPurse.org/VeggieTales. You can print your label from here and check the box you want. Then, tape the label to the box. Now comes the fun part. You can add toys, school supplies, maybe even a French pea.
Great! I did not have my passport!
Okay, then maybe a toothbrush. Be sure to send only toys that are new and unused. And remember, don't send any kind of food items. Plus, no toy guns or war toys. But you can send a picture and a note. When you're done, bring your shoebox to the nearest Operation Christmas Child drop-off location. You can even build your box online. SamaritansPurse.org/VeggieTales has all the info. Whether you pack your box yourself or build it online, you can follow your box online to find out which country it goes to. It's a really great way to show a child they're special and loved.
Nice job, Larry.
Thanks, Bob. Here, let me give you a hand with that. Wow, that's one heavy baseball. You sure it's not too heavy for the kids? Bob?
This has been How to Pack a Shoebox with Bob and Larry. Tune in next time to hear Larry say...
Bob, talk to me, man.
Sunday, please bring all your boxes in and donations for the Sunday School. Two other things. As you know, we've been collecting for the Thanksgiving food drive that's going on now till next week. In addition, we've been asking for those who know of families who might be in need of help for Thanksgiving dinner. We've put little flyers in the bulletin each week, but we're going to pass this around this week. And if you know of anyone that could use, we've got a few more items that are needed. So if you could sign up there, that'd be great. And then lastly, we've got one more sign up. As you know, emergency rotating shelter, Haven is hosting that on the week of January 6th. So we're starting to take signups for that as well. So I'm going to pass this on this side. Okay? If you have any questions about that, see Joanne Edwards. There you go. All right, I think that's it.
All right, what I'd like you to do is if anybody has, I think there's some seats around some people, just kind of raise your hand up if you've got some seats, scoot in. And we're going to also ask the kids to come forward off the seats so that we can go ahead and have you guys up front as we worship. But what I would like to do, two other things. Number one, I'd like to we're going to greet each other in a bit. I do want to share for the family, I know Judy will, just everybody's care during the passing of Judy Music's father this week, and my wife's grandfather, and it was a great testimony to his life, and it still doesn't seem real that he's not with us, but we know that he's in a better place, and he's flat-footing in heaven today, so we give, and eating the meals, we know that, so, but what we want you to do right now, just stand and greet one another in the love of Jesus Christ. Ready, Denise Pimentes, one of our leaders of our Life Healing Choices, which has been going awesome, our Life Healing Choices study. She's going to lead us in opening worship today.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with great praise and thanks for all that you're doing here in each of our lives and in our community, and especially in our Haven Church. And we give great thanks for all of that, and we ask that you continue to be with each and every one of us as we're here today to worship together, to praise you, and be with Jack as he presents the message to us, and help us to take it into our hearts as you need it to be taken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Everybody stand on up.
All right. The first line of the song is, I will sing to the Lord. So I want to hear you guys sing to the Lord. Drown us out. You know, we don't hear us sing. We hear you guys sing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Our God is greater, God is stronger. Other. Turned into wine, opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Then what could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. If our God is for us, ever stop us. If our God is for us, if our God is for us. Stand against you. What could stand again? Sing it out. God is greater. God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Amen.
next time our children can go for our Sunday school, our Shoreline Ministry? I gotta tell you, every week I love seeing these kids here. You know, it's awesome, isn't it? I mean, they're our church now, not only our church of the future, but our church now. So it's really awesome to see our young people here and involved. And that's why several weeks I want to go ahead and have them share and open the message today, message each week with a prayer or just be visible because they're part of our church. They're not. We don't segment them to a side, but they can push us on our faith during. I praise you with a dance. I didn't see one person over the age of 18 dancing around out there, but I saw a lot of them up here dancing around, which was really cool. So, but guess what? I bet you some of you guys, when you're watching the games today, will be dancing all around, okay?
I have quite a few requests. People are catching on to filling them out. They're back there on that back wall, and we have quite a few this morning. Chris is thankful for her brother, Eddie. And then we have a whole lot of requests. Patty Miller has asked us to pray for Nancy Miller, who's had a stroke. And Joe Fleming has asked for prayer for financial and physical needs. And Natalie has asked us for prayer for her father, who's going on a fishing trip in the Pacific Ocean, and she wants him to have a safe trip while he's there. Jill has asked prayer for Jim, who's going to be having surgery on Thursday to have his gallbladder removed, and we're going to pray for a quick and effective surgery and a quick recovery. Andy is looking for strength and healing for Judy Blankenship, who's battling cancer. And Maureen Hamilton has asked for prayer for their family to accept God's will and leading. And Chris has asked for continued prayer for Scott as he recovers. He's going to have a very long recovery, having broken both hips and his pelvis. And then Chris has asked for prayer for the Biggs family in the death of Uncle Wallace. And Marion Sizemore has asked for prayer for Richard Rourke, a friend of their family's, who died, and his funeral will be today. And Stella has asked for prayer for her mother's baby, Ella, that she will be okay. And Jeannie Carroll has asked for prayer for William Huss, who had surgery, and also the day after the surgery, his brother passed away. So we want to remember him and his family. And Joanne Edwards has asked for prayer for Laura Sutton. Many of you know her. She was used to manage the county bank on Main Street in Northeast for many years. She's in the hospital and has a brain tumor and will be having surgery later this week, so we want to remember her. Let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have had no deterrence to getting here to worship this morning. The weather is beautiful and everything seems to be right on target for us having a great time of worshiping you together. We thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity, and we thank you that we, most of us, have made it out here today to worship. And as we worship, we think of the many different aspects of worship and what that entails. And part of it is coming to you this morning, Father, with our cares and concerns. We've shared them with each other as they have been written down, and we know that there are many more that have not been spoken. We pray, Father, as we think of those who have had losses in their families this week, and we think of Judy and Melissa, we pray, Father, that you will be with them and continue to hold them in your arms as they take the time to mourn and sort out their feelings. We pray, Father, for this other family that we've heard, or a couple of families who've had losses this week. We pray that you will wrap your arms of love around them also. We know that it is not an easy time to go through, but we know that you can be there for us. We pray, Father, for those this morning that we've heard who have cancer and have surgeries coming up, and for Jim who has surgery on his gallbladder. And we just pray that with all of these surgeries that are happening this week, that you will be with the doctors, that you'll give them guidance and to know the exact treatment that's needed. And we pray that you'll be with the caregivers and their families as they help them towards recovery. We pray, Father, that you will be with us this morning as we continue to worship you in song and in music and in our tithes and our offerings, that all of those things will be meaningful parts of worship as we have come together. We pray, Father, that you'll be with Jack as he delivers those words that you have given him, that he will feel free to express those things to us, that there won't be any distractions. And we pray that we will be attentive listeners. And we ask all of these things in thy name this morning. Amen.
The reason I make this offering. Good morning. Scripture this morning is from Mark 7, 31 through 37. Jesus heals a deaf and mute man. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down through the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There, some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on them. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be open." At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Second reading is Matthew 28:19 through 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Hi. Hi to everybody here, and I know there are some who are watching online. Hi, how you doing? Don't want to forget them. We also want to remind them they can also give online. Ain't nothing free in life, just letting you know. It's just good to have people here. We're joking. We're glad that you're watching with us. And that was especially for my father who's watching right now. He'll get that in about 5 seconds, and he'll probably text you, Andy. Good to be here today. I got to tell you, I am glad to be in a place where I can enjoy worshiping the Lord rather than saying goodbye to people I love. This week I had two people who I love dearly, that one in Lewis, Delaware, that I went and did a funeral for. And the awesome thing is I know they know the Lord and I know where they are, but I also know my heart is heavy in that midst too. And so we do what we do, and we serve God and we continue, and it just, what those things do is just remind me how important of a job that we have as a church, and how there are people every day who are dying, that we're seeing their names in the newspapers that don't know Jesus. And I've done several funerals over my life that I can't say that the person knew the Lord and was going to be with him. So I'm excited to be here to worship God. It's really cool. It's one of those weeks where we were running around and weren't able to really have a practice and in our praise team, and God makes it work. And Wayne is always led by the Spirit of God to lead us and to put the songs together. And all the songs, even though we have a theme, we're in our second week of God Is. Last week we talked about God Is. Anybody remember? Not. There we go. But all the songs this week seem to talk about the majesty and the awesomeness of God. And I don't know about you, but I needed that for myself this week, to know that God is awesome. And everything else may seem like it's going to hell in a handbasket, but God is in control. And that's one of the things that we all need a good dose of. And it's part of the sermon, too, so it's going to be kind of cool because it fits like that. Another thing, Debbie, we still doing prayer time? What time? 5:30, 6:30 on Thursday. 5:30, 6:30, it's in the bulletin. But I know nobody reads anything anymore. We got to have it scroll across the screen for us. So I am your scrolling screen, or for those of you who are old enough, follow the bouncing ball. I tell you that if there's one thing that could change your life, it's to be more active in prayer. Prayer, it makes it happen when everything else can't. And Debbie is faithful in meeting here, even rearranging her schedule to be here so that people can come together and pray. So I would suggest, and I know some of you are already going to be here a little bit later, Life Healing Choices, come and pray. And set, you think it's awesome now, start praying together before and see how awesome it goes. All right? So that's my commercial. Now let's go. Let's do the show. Has anybody ever forgotten something in your life? Anybody? You remember what you forgot? Okay, exactly. I forget so much stuff in my life. It's wild. And throughout my life, like, Melissa will call me at times and say, "Hey, do not forget to bring this when you come down here. I'm here. Make sure you bring it." And I leave, and I come down, and I've got everything together, and I'm standing there, and she goes, "Where's that thing?" And I'm like, "Oh, I have everything else but," and I forget. And she gets weekly calls of me as I'm on my way to church. Oh, if you go downstairs, right next to this thing, it's like underneath that paper, next to that other paper. You know where it is? And she's like, hold on. And usually she's just worked a 12-hour shift, and she likes to play Where in the World is Jack Stuff. And because, you know, I blame it on God and say, God gives me something, and I go ahead and come up with it at the last second. But we are talking about, us in a series about God is, and I think in many things, there's some things about God that we forget. Today we're going to talk about God is here, and it was just God is here, and then I put God is here and now. And one of the things that I think we forget is this first verse of Scripture. It's a famous verse of Scripture. It's the Great Commission, and it's from Matthew 28:20. It's printed in your bulletin. First of all, Jesus says in 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then in verse 20, he says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always. And what does he say he is? With you. So that tells me what? God is here. And I think so many of us need to wrap our minds around this concept, need to begin to wrap our lives around this concept, need to embrace this not only concept, but this truth that God is here with us. Even to the what? End of the age. That means to the end of the world. That God is present with us. Now, we should be excited about that, because for the Old Testament, they didn't have God with them. God was separated from them. We'll talk a little bit about that today, not a ton. But we, because of what Christ did, have the ability to have Christ with us. So how can we know that Christ is with us? I'm going to spend the next few moments, and when preachers say that, look out, that means a long time, just unpacking how we know God's with us and how we can see that in the midst of our lives. So the first thing, and we're going to jump right in, and then we're going to stop, and we're going to jump around. It's on a wild ride. Everybody go, woo, you can do this, okay? The first thing that we can look at or recognize that God is with us is the first thing. It's on your bulletin sheet. Again, if you have one, please go ahead and feel free to write in there. There's a QR code in there if you've got a smartphone, or if your phone's a little dumb, but it does one of those QR things, and you can go ahead and hit it. You can go ahead and go to our Facebook page and put in whatever, and that'd be cool. I like to look them later, and I may even respond if it's good enough. So, but no, I try to respond. It's to look at the life of Jesus. To look at the life of Jesus. Now, so what I'm saying here is, if you forget that God is with us or that God is here, pick up the Bible and look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And look at the life of Jesus. And you say, okay, I understand that, but Why does that mean anything? Think about what happened. We are, you know, in a little bit, we're going to make Ricky Bobby happy, because we're going to celebrate the little Christmas Jesus. You guys have seen Talladega Nights, just sweet little round-faced Jesus. Can't even make a word yet. You know that one? We're not going to celebrate the tuxedo t-shirt Jesus. But we are going to celebrate Jesus. And a lot of us get really excited. Wayne shared that he's already got Christmas stuff rolling out, right? Melissa has been driving me absolutely insane by playing Christmas music for the last 2 weeks. I am, like, not in Christmas mode, but in some ways, she actually helped me, force me, because I'm like, you know, I got to make some concrete plans here for Christmas worship, and I'm kind of in the beginning of the year, and I'm here, so I'm all over the place. I'm like, oh, I've got to do a lot of other things. So I'm going through my mind, but, you know, from August, Walmart and Kmart have had the Christmas stuff out. They just, like, jump over, you know, Halloween, and really, you know, everybody jumps over Thanksgiving now. Nobody has time to stop and thanks, and that's a whole other sermon. We won't touch that today. You guys got it. I don't have to tell you. But, you know, I'm flipping around on my radio the other day, and they got Christmas music out already. I'm like, oh my gosh, Christmas. But we're getting ready to celebrate this baby Jesus. And in the midst of that, what we forget to recognize in this whole thing is that Jesus left heaven. He left heaven and came down to this place. Now, most of us want to get from here to here. And most of the time, if everything about heaven, and I believe that everything I understand and read and have understood in my life or been taught is true, when I'm there, I don't want to leave that to come back here. We went on vacation, all-inclusive, to Mexico this year. I love you, but I wasn't ready to come back. I like all-inclusive. I like, it was when it was 100 plus degrees and you guys were complaining and dying. It was like 80, 90 degrees there. It was beautiful. I loved it. I had to walk in. I got whatever amount of food was. I was cheating the whole week. I didn't care what result it made. I got to run if I wanted to. I got to swim if I wanted to. If I could stay there all my life, how many of us would say, if I could stay here, I would love to go back to have to work and cut the grass and deal with all that other kind of stuff that I have to do at home. Anybody? Now, heaven is a lot better than Mexico. Let's hope. And if it is, which I know that it is, when I'm there, I do not want to come back here. Because any resort area here fails in comparison to what's there in heaven. But Jesus himself, because he decided to leave because of the will of the Father to come down here, to be born, to live. And I've heard many pastors say, Jesus came to die. I've said it. Jesus came to die. But that's not all Jesus came to do. Because if he did, he could have just zipped down, died, did the death thing, the resurrection thing, and been done. Not done 33 years of that. So what else did Jesus come to do? I believe that in his 33 years, he also gave us an example of how to recognize and live life with God here with us. One of his names that we'll sing is Emmanuel, which means God with us. The Bible contains tons of references about the supernatural. Not that horrible WB show or whatever it was, but supernatural. The stuff that is out of the ordinary, stuff that is extra natural, supernatural. That's why we get the term there. And as Christians, one of the things I recognize about my own journey and I recognize about fellow Christians is we get so caught up in living in the natural that we don't live and look at the life of Jesus that was in the supernatural. And guess what? It was contagious. Because as I read about the disciples, once they got their minds off of living in the natural, we have the book of Acts where they had some really cool stuff happening that was supernatural. And as Christian people, I think we are so caught in the stuff of life that we live in the natural that we allow the natural to live in us more than we allow the supernatural from God to live in and through us. Let's look at some of the stuff that Jesus did. I mean, let's start. Virgin birth. We can start there. Anybody know anybody? Nope. If they tell you that, they're lying. Perfect sinless life. Anybody? Any takers? Nope. He did miracles. He did some wacky kind of miracles and awesome. People are dead and he's just like, come on out. Roll the stone away. Let him come out of here. People who couldn't walk from birth, he heals. People who couldn't see, people who couldn't hear, he just changed their lives. The miraculous. John tells us that if everything that Jesus did was written down, there wouldn't be enough room in the entire world to contain everything that he did. The life of Jesus was a supernatural existence, and it happened with the disciples around him. Yet, we spend so much of our time in the natural saying, okay, well, how did he do that? How did he do it? What happened? How did he do it? And I want you to go with me to John chapter 5, verse 30. It's printed in your bulletin. And look at what, this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus says this. By myself, I can do, say it again, by myself, I can do
nothing.
And then he says, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just for what I seek. I seek not to please who? Myself, but him who sent me. What he says is, I can do absolutely nothing apart from my Father, apart from God. So what does that tell you? If Jesus lived a life and did some incredible, cool stuff in the supernatural, where was God? Right with him. And as Christians, that's something that we need to look at, and we need to recognize the key to living a supernatural life is, number one, as it says here, to recognize, to stop doing things ourselves. I can do nothing myself. Isn't that a freeing experience to recognize that I can do nothing on my own? How many of you have lived your life each and every day saying, I have to prove something to someone that I can do it on my own? There are so many people that day in and day out, and that fear, let's go back to the last sermon series, that fear of failure tends to keep us in a paralyzed state, that we are in perpetual paralyzed nature, that we are keep running on the hamster wheel because we're afraid if we stop, everything's going to fall apart. You are not God, and neither am I. And when we do that, we tell God, I can do everything through myself. But that's not what we can do. So we need to stop doing things ourselves. What else do we have to do? We need to listen to God. He says in here, in this verse, I judge only as I hear what God tells me. That's what I do. And what do? I do what he says. And why do I do it? All to please God. Seems like a pretty easy pattern, isn't it? It's much harder to live it out. Remember how I started this about forgetting things? And one of the things I think is that we forget that God is here with us. In our tragedies, in our struggles, we forget that God is here. And I think one of the things is that we need to recognize it is nearly impossible for us to forget who God is if we continually keep our eyes on him and keep our focus on him. When I forget Jesus is with me, it is usually because I need to refocus my attention or I need to put my eyes on something else. I will never, ever forget, the driver's ed teacher at Northeast High School when we were there. Mr. Barnett, before Barnett. I forget. He talked with a southern accent. I don't know. A as in Abel, B as in boy, C as in Charlie. Anybody remember that? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But anyway, one of the things, I don't remember him right now, but what I do remember is what he told me. And I'm, who? No. Doesn't matter. Unless he's watching, it really matters. I know, they just don't. I'm just letting you know. But I remember something he told me. He told me, when you are driving, keep your eyes on where you want to head, because if you look over to the side, you will drive the car to where you're headed. And so many of us in our lives are looking on the side of the road, looking over here. Some of us are looking behind us. Have you ever tried to ride down the road like this? Don't. But you have an accident waiting for someplace to happen. And it's true. It's very true. If you turn to this side, you naturally go to where you end up. And he told a story about a guy who he was in the driver's ed car, and he was glad it had the brake on the other side because the guy was just looking at, they were going by accident, and he was just going straight over and almost hit the car. So many of us have hit cars and gotten our eyes off of Jesus, and we forget that he's there because we end up so far off path that we can't see him. Have you ever, as kids, played that dumb repeat game that makes you want to punch somebody in the face? Like when you say something, they say, yeah, you say something. Or even worse, like when your kids are little, like when they start to repeat things that you say, and it's always never the good stuff. Like you could say, Jesus loves me, and they look at you, and you could say, oh, son of a, and they go, oh, son of a, and you're like, oh, my gosh. And then you're in a place, and they do it in a public place, and you say, I told them to stay away from your mother, you know, or whatever. I'm not saying it was true, and it happened. But there are those moments that kids start to repeat after you, and you're kind of afraid, and you begin to watch what you say because you want them to say what's right, and you don't want anybody else to know what you really say. You with me here? and you're going through this deal. But one of the cool things about that is, as I was thinking about this repeating game and thinking about my kids when they were at this age where they repeated everything, that's what Jesus came to do. Jesus is that kid who's just saying, I'm repeating what my Father wants me to say. And in turn, you repeat what I say, because he said, if the Father is in me and I am in him, so when you see me, you see the Father. And then what I want is for you to repeat what I say and for you go and make disciples and teach them everything I have said. That's what he said, right? He said, I want you to repeat what I am saying so that in turn other people will in turn repeat what you are saying, and then everybody is connected to my daddy. And that's the important part. And so we need to begin to embrace that and to say what Jesus says and what he wants to do. You see, the life of Jesus is a reminder that God is with us and God is here. Second thing is the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus. Have you ever been separated from somebody? Like distance or something? I remember like the other year I went to Orlando for a conference. It was probably one of the most transitional conferences, as I was going through a lot myself and met some really awesome people there. I was kind of like alone because I didn't know anybody. Usually I go to conferences, I know everybody or I know a couple people. I knew nobody. I mean, one time I went out to California and I saw one of my best friends from seminary and we hung out and rode around. And I went by myself, but we knew each other and that kind of thing. This one I went, I knew no one. A whole bunch of clergy and laity and things, and I knew no one, but there were some people who were just really, it was kind of good because it was me by myself, and I remember I was even trying to convince Melissa to come down because I felt that separation from my family, and I was like, oh, your mom would watch them, just pay her money or something, just be nice to her. I will bring her back a Walt Disney hat or something, some ears. I'm just like, no, I got to work. I was like, forget work, you know, and then until I get home, I'm like, why aren't you working anymore, you know. And she told me, no, you're good. And I was there, but I felt that separation, and I couldn't wait. Even though I'm in the happiest place on earth, I just felt that separation from somebody I cared about. And I began to look at this. The death of Jesus is about separation. It's about that God, it just tore him apart to be separated from his kids that he loved so much. Because our sinful nature and his holy nature, God knew could not exist together. It couldn't be in the same place because he's all holy and we're all, our sin makes us all everything else but. You know, we were born in sin. And if you don't believe me, how many of you have ever had a little baby around you? They're cute little bundles of evil and selfishness, and they know how to sin. Their sin is so self-centered. It's so self-focused. And when they get toddlers, then they learn they can manipulate you with evil. And then they get out of it by saying, I love you. And you say, oh, you are evil, right? We have these things. We're born to do that. You tell a kid not to, what are they going to do? Do it. And so there's this sin, and God knew that. And they know how to sin, and we know how to sin. So as we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, it tells us about what the death of Jesus did. It tells us this on the bottom of your first sheet. God made him who had no sin to be what? To be sin for us. For who? For us. For who? So that we might become the righteousness of God. You take God knowing, you take that separation, a loved one that's far away or all those kind of things, and you're like, I'd do anything to just reconnect right now. That's how God was. And he said, I'm going to do anything, so I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you who I love, my son. And guess what? All that bad stuff they do, I'm going to put it all on you. And I'm going to nail it to a cross. And you're going to take all the pain and all the sin and all the hurt for everybody. And guess what? It's going to stink. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be the worst thing. It's going to break my heart. Are you willing? He said, yeah, I'll do it. And he did it. It was horrific. But then on Easter, it changed. And he did that so that my mess, which was the wrongness, let's put it that way, the wrongness in my life, that junk was there. And Jesus, who had none of that, said, I'm taking that price and I'm paying it so that Jack and all his mess can connect back to his daddy. And all he has to do is pick up the phone and call and say, hey, Dad, I'm coming home. So often we as Christians end up in this obsession of who we used to be or what we have done in the past. Guess what? Get on board with the rest of us. I grew up in this area. If I passed around a clipboard and asked you to write one bad thing you know about me, I'm sure you wouldn't have to work too hard to find one. Particularly the ones who went to school with me. And the other ones would just have to ask a couple people. Guess what? That's part of who my nature in this world is, but I am not that. I am his child. And when I'm his child, that changes the whole game. And when we begin to embrace that, and when I keep allowing myself to be pulled back into the wrongness of me, then I say Christ is not powerful enough to make me right in right standing with God. And that's wrong. And that's completely wrong. The sin, the death of Jesus tells us that he's with us. And we don't need to be obsessed with who we used to be. God cleaned up your past. No matter how shady and questionable it is. And guess what? I grew up here too, and I see your faces, and I could write some down too. But guess what? I know because you're here, you're connecting to my dad, and if my dad is your dad, then guess what? All that stuff is in the past, and God may use it to bring somebody else in, and that's cool. But our goal is to tell those people who are still dealing with that stuff, hey, you have a father who wants you to come home and clean you up. So many struggle with growth in Christianity due to shady history and past and cannot fathom or begin to understand what God has for them. Now, I'm going to show you a pretty interesting picture up here, and you're going to go, ew. Want to practice? Okay, you'll get it better than that. Now, I'm going to show you a picture of this, and I got to do it while he's young. Okay, show you a picture. All right. When Judah was real little, I have the video. I saved you the video. I love your faces. It's great. It's so cute on the video. He said, ew. He said, ew, yucky. That's what he said. Ew, he's yucky. He had a blowout. Anybody who's had kids with a diaper, you know a blowout? And where else do you get this in a church in America, right? And he came downstairs, and mom did what good moms do, start to clean him up. I got the phone and started to videotape and take pictures. But she was cleaning him up downstairs, and he said, ooh, it's yucky, it's you. And he's like, ooh, and she's cleaning him up. I got to do this again when he's like 25. It'll be great. And you can see his face. He's like, this is disgusting. Now, you see, he decided to paint a little bit. And what I did not do, he was in his mess. And what I did not do is go grab him and take his diaper and shove his face in it and say, don't do it again. And then make him go up and shove his face in the wall and point out to him, look what you did, look what you did, look what you did. Look at your diaper, look at you. You clean it up yourself. I can't believe you don't take care of that. What is wrong with you? Well, I didn't do that. You know why? Why didn't I do that? Because I love him, and he's my kid, and I don't like stench in my house. And neither does God. He loves you, and you and I are more than that. We carry that crap around, the crap of sin around with us day in and day out. We play in it. We rub it all over our lives. We say, let's rub it in work. Let's rub it in our relationship. Woo! ooh, yeah. And we go, ooh, my life's yucky. And we're shocked. But God doesn't say, how dare you, Jack? How dare you do that? I should make you just deal with it. I'm going to punish you. Deal with it, deal with it, deal with it. No, God says, let me clean you up. Let me wipe that away. That's what my son came to do. That's what the cross is about. Melissa cleaned him up, and I scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed on that wall. I called her, help. Because, you know, dried kid poo is like concrete. You have to chisel that stuff off. And the little grooves in the door are hell. And some of our lives are exactly that. We have stuff in our life that we're still going back to the poo that we've had when we were 12 years old. And we still keep leaving it there, still keep wearing it and just going, God, and Jesus isn't good enough for me. You don't know what I did. You don't know what I did. He says, yes, I did. I'm smelling it every day. I'm not going to let my son carry that until he's 6 or 7 years old or 8 or 10 because I love him too much. And I wouldn't leave him in that condition. And that's why God sent his son, because he loves you way, way too much to leave you in that condition. So let him scrub you up. And you know, Judah wasn't happy about the scrubbing process. I mean, you put him in the bathtub and he's fine. But when you got to scrub some of that off and you got to, he's not happy about that. You know what's interesting? The more mess that Judah had brought more cleaning. Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. The sick are the ones who need a doctor. The ones who are hurting worse are the ones who really need me. The ones who think they've got it all together and are super Christians, they don't have any need for me. If you're down in the doldrums, if you feel like you are unworthy of Christ, guess what? You are the most worthy for him, that he came for you. No matter what you're dealing with, large or small, however we rank them, he paid the price for it on the cross to connect you back to his daddy. And he doesn't want to leave you like this. And you guys don't want to see that slide anymore, I know. So this is what Matthew 28, 20 says. I will never, how many times will he leave you?
Never.
Never leave you and never forsake you is what he tells us. In Romans 5, 20, the second part of that. Romans 5, 20, the second part through 21 says, but where sin increases, grace, undeserved love and favor what? Increase all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace, undeserved love and favor from God, might reign through righteousness and bring eternal life through Jesus Christ. So the more sin you got, there's more grace coming if you just turn to Jesus and let him clean you up. Number three, here we go. The victory of Jesus tells us that he's here. The victory of Jesus. There's a great old hymn, one of my favorites. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. When I have time in life, one of my ways to release and calm down are video games, particularly sports video games. And I love the fact that I can play my friends online. I'm a couple of other 40-year-old guys who want to play video games. Yes. And one of the things I like to do is I talk for a living, in case you don't know. I also like to talk when I'm playing these games. I love to win. I love to talk. And ultimately, if I'm playing a friend of mine, I love to run up the score. There were several coaches in... Because we all, you know, that's part of the pregame. We get on, we're like, I'm going to whip your butt now. They're going to have to bring a video ambulance to clean you up. And we're just talking and all this kind of stuff. And some of the college coaches, some of you might remember Tom Osborne, who played, was the coach from Nebraska. He later became a senator. He ran the score up on everybody. He beat people like 70-3. Just ran it up. And... now there's people who don't think that's ethical, but I got to tell you, Christians are called to run up the score, and we've forgotten to run up the score. What do I mean by this? Well, here we go. In 1 Corinthians 15, 56 through 57, it says, "The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." So what we as Christians need to do is to run up the score on the enemy. We need to run up the score on the enemy. Everybody know what running up the score is? I think I have an example of this, don't I, Melinda? I think I have an example. That is called running up the score. This was a girls' basketball game, a real girls' basketball game, where the score was 107-2. That means one basket or two foul shots. I don't think they really have a basketball team when you get beat 107-2. What do you tell them on the sideline? Hang in there. We're only 103 points behind with 2 minutes left. What do you do with that? Are you going to play still? And I heard that they put in like, they were grabbing people off the sidelines to play. Can you throw the ball? And they throw it up and go in the hoop. The other people, they just throw it up anywhere and it wouldn't go anywhere. 107-2. That's a lot. When we look at this, when you are on the other side of that, when you are on the Knights, and it was their home game too, when you're on the Knights side, maybe they're the Knights from Monty Python, but when they're on that side, when do you give up? 50-2? Wouldn't it be great if the score was like 2-0 originally with them? When do you give up? Jesus says Satan's never going to give up, so you keep pounding him and keep pounding him and keep winning people for him. Keep telling people about Jesus and keep telling people about Satan's future. Victory only comes through Jesus' victory. And you guys may say, wait a second, Jack, you're telling me I have victory. I'm not feeling it in life. You know, I have a health diagnosis. I have a terminal cancer. I'm not feeling victorious. My finances and this economy, I'm not feeling victorious. The pain I wake up every day with physically or the emotional pain from broken relationships, I'm not feeling victorious. I'm dealing with sorrow so deep and so powerful in my life because of losing loved ones. I'm tired of it, and I don't feel victorious. The thing that we as Christians need to get to, remember when I started talking about living in natural and supernatural? You see, Jesus, when he went to Lazarus' tomb, what did he do? He wept in the natural, but he also lived in the supernatural by saying, "I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and life. It's me." Mary and Martha were like, "If you had been here, if you'd been here," he said, who am I? He said, "Well, I know in the end day, you're going to," he said, no. "Who am I? In your situation, who am I? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father by me." So the victory comes through me. Like the old hymn, "There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him," meaning before I ever knew him. "And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood." You know, if you've ever been caught in a big, powerful wave, it's not the most fun thing, but if you ride it, you feel like a champion. And what we're being told here is that it's not our circumstances that rule over you. It is Jesus who reigns. Our struggles force us to go naturally living when we need to be getting ourselves to supernatural living. In 1 Corinthians, we look at this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay," showing the fragile nature of us, "to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are," now tell me if this it was your week. "We are pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ." Why? "So that the life of Christ may be revealed in our body." Everything in your life may seem like it's coming apart at the seams. And I want to take you back to a Friday, which we call Good Friday. a Friday where for his disciples and for everybody who followed Jesus, they thought everything was coming apart at the seams. He had been captured. He had been crucified. He had been put in a tomb. Everything they had hoped for seemed to be gone. Everything. Is that a hopeless situation? You think they were pressed and almost felt crushed, persecuted and abandoned? But guess what? On the other end of Good Friday was Easter. Tony Campola, the great writer, did one of the best sermons I've ever seen. And he said, it may be Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. And for your life, it's not without Friday and the struggles in Friday, there is no Easter resurrection. In your life, it may be Friday, but Easter's on the way. God says, even in the midst of Good Friday, I'm here, and I'm going to take care of you through, and you're going to see how much I am here. Because you know what the rest of that verse says? In 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, it's printed wrong in your bulletin. Therefore, we do not lose what? Heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, stop. Our light and momentary troubles. Do you realize this was written by a guy who got beat almost to death, who got thrown in some of the darkest, deepest prisons, who had everybody hating him and throwing rocks at him, and he had all kinds of different stuff. This is what he wrote. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, because what is seen is what? Temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. That's called, he says, the reason I can handle this mess is because I am living supernaturally, because I'm living by faith, not by sight. I'm living by faith and not by sight. Sometimes it's difficult to see in our lives. Sometimes it's really, really difficult to see. But Jesus is there. And we're promised that the Holy Spirit, which raised Jesus from the dead, lives within you and all who believe in him. So you know what we need to do with that Holy Spirit? Run up the score. Kick it up on Satan. Kick it up. He tells you, guess what? You're not going to make your bills. You say, you know what? Watch my Jesus. Guess what? I'm going to run up the score on you in this one. I'm going to do a little dance. You know, he says, that relationship that's broken, that one that is torn apart, that you want me to redeem and you want me to go ahead and put back together, that you desire that and you say there's no way. You know, and Satan says, hey, it's gone. You say, you know what? I want Jesus to run up the score. Can you run up the score on this one, Jesus? I need a Hail Jesus, not a Hail Mary. You know? Come on, Jesus. You gotta let it go. Run that score up in every area of your life where Satan's attacking you. You got somebody who's struggling through life. You got a kid who you see hope in, but they're struggling. You know what? Say, God, I want you to protect him. I want you to send them and just to be there. And I want you to help run up the score. So everybody who says that kid is a lost cause, I want you to run up the score so he can stand one day and say, Jesus pulled me out of this. Run it up. Anybody ever run up the score? Anybody on anything? Kings? It's fun. May not be ethical in sports, but it's fun. I mean, from a coach who got his butt kicked a couple times over years, it ain't fun on the other side. But when you're on the other side, oh, it's fun. Aren't you tired of getting your butt kicked by Satan? Run up the score on him. We need to walk in victory. We need to walk in victory, not walk for victory. So many of us have in our minds that the victory is not achieved, but the victory is already achieved through Christ. We're just in the cleanup, mop-up time. So as we conclude today, very briefly, what happens when we get our mind around that God is here? What happens when we really say, okay, what happens now? Remember I said God is here. What about now? A couple brief things. One thing, faith happens. Faith happens. In the story of this man, it's another kind of weird image. In the story of this man in Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 32, I have it here. But we have Jesus going through this area. And here he is. He's going through this area and the Decapolis, the 10 major cities in the area. And people had heard about Jesus. And so what do? There are some people who brought to him a man who was deaf, who could hardly talk. and they beg Jesus to put his hand on him. You know what begins to happen here? What begins to happen here is they hear about Jesus, and there starts to be an expectation. So when these people were dealing with situations, when they heard Jesus was here, now was the time for him to do something. If you believe Jesus is here, he wants to act now. Now, his now and your now may be different, but he wants to act now. He wants to act in the now. And we see this time and time again. An expectation began to happen when they heard Jesus was in the area. Before Jesus came in the area and before they knew he was there, all other hope went away. But when he shows up, there's an expectation and there's a hope. In your life, there is an expectation, there is a hope because Jesus is here. Got me? Okay. Just making sure you're getting it. People came and look what else they do. They brought other people. When you believe that Jesus is right here, you not only come to be part of this, but you also bring others because you want them to get what Jesus has. That's how the church works. I could put the biggest and the best ad campaign together. It could be really cool. It could be like one I saw one time when I was in a drive-thru at McDonald's and they had a big billboard there and it was like, get your Big Mac with Jesus or, you know, something like that for a church. I was like, oh, okay, and I'm eating this and I'm saying that. You can put whatever campaign you want together. But the best way to tell people about it, to get people connected to Jesus is you're connected to him and you tell somebody. It's been the best way. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So faith begins to happen. The second thing is focus begins to happen. Look at what happens when Jesus sees this man in verse 33. Verse 33, it says, they brought the man to him and asked him to place his hand on him. And after he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus does some unusual things. He took him aside. When Jesus shows up, faith happens. When faith happens, Jesus focuses his attention on you. Go back to Judah when he's all messed up. Just to let you know, with four other children in the house, they all weren't sitting at the table with their arms folded. There was other stuff going around, and there was other messes to take care of, and there was other drama that went around in the house. Anybody who's had multiple kids know exactly what I'm talking about. If you focus on one, there's drama elsewhere. It's no different in the church. But when you come to Jesus in faith, he stops and focuses on you. And that's what he did with this man here. He pulled him aside, recognizing that this man may have had something embarrassing or had something happen to him that he was just upset about. Everyone else wanted Burger King. They wanted Jesus to do it their way, to say, okay, go ahead, you can heal him, just talk to him. Jesus said, I'm pulling him alongside. Why? Because Jesus had something that he wanted to do and have it his way, not their way. And then the last section is spit happens. He took him away from the crowd, put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. That's pretty gross. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephrathah, be opened. Somebody's spitting and putting it on my tongue. The next thing I'm going to do is when he yells, be open, is open my mouth. But, you know, I've always been perplexed by this. Doesn't this seem odd? You see, everybody just wanted Jesus to go. They've known he touched, he healed, he'd done this. He could have just touched them. He could have done like a Jedi mind trick. You're healed, you know, like that. But he decides to pull him alongside, stick his finger. Anybody want to be a volunteer this week? No, nobody's volunteering. Oh, to carry you on my back. That's cool. Yeah, but me spitting in your mouth. No. That's pretty disgusting, I must say. And I actually changed the picture because I had a really disgusting one. You'll appreciate that. You're welcome. Plugs his fingers in his ears, spits, and how many hands the guy got? Got two in his ears and one in his mouth. You know. You read it like I do? That means he's sticking fingers in his ears, he's spitting, and he's plopping all that in this dude's mouth. That's pretty darn gross. But you know why Jesus did it? Number one, he did it to say, I'm here, and I'm in control. And he's going to be healed the way I want him healed and the way my father wants him healed because I'm listening to this. Can you imagine Jesus going, excuse me, God, spit where, put fingers where? No, I don't think so. He didn't say I don't think so. He just did it. You know, what's interesting is in the Jewish heritage, it's pretty cool. I didn't understand this verse, and I did some thinking. In the Jewish tradition of the time, when they had somebody who would claim to be an heir, there was a belief that if they had a question about who was a legitimate heir, that the saliva of a legitimate heir brought healing power. It's a belief. What Jesus was saying to everybody there is, I'm my daddy's boy. And I know you want me to just say, be healed. I know you want me to say your sins are forgiven because you saw that up the road. I know you guys want me to just grab his hand, pull him up, and go, woo! Or just blow in one ear and everything shoots out. I know you want that, but he couldn't talk. And so Jesus went to the point and said, guess what? I am my daddy's boy, and because I have authority from him, watch this. Boom, right on his tongue. Be opened, he could speak, he could hear, and it changed his life. So many of us are going around with our ears like this and not being able to say a word because we can't hear our Father. And we need to recognize that we too, thanks to Jesus, are children of our daddy. And God is here and now, and he wants to release your eyes, open your eyes, release the silence from your ears, and cause you to speak with a tongue that will glorify his name more and more. It's pretty cool that Jesus does what Mark says several times. He tells the guy, don't tell anybody. And what does the guy do? He tells everybody. Because you know what? When Jesus changed your life, you should want to tell somebody about it. Time and time again. You may be here today as we close and as the praise team comes from. You may be living completely overwhelmed. He may say, help me focus on the life that you lived. I don't want my life and my relationship with you, God, to just be this Sunday thing. I want to live a life in the supernatural with you every day. Or you may be someone that say, help me focus on your death because, God, I'm tired of carrying around this dirty diaper and painting on the walls of my life with it. You need to help me and help me realize that I'm not who my past is. And then ultimately you may say, God, help me live in your victory. Help me have victorious living above my circumstances. And let me walk in victory, not for victory. And may you bring faith and healing to my life that I, in turn, can lead somebody to you. Amen? Let's pray. Please stand. Let's pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you for your presence with us today. You are an awesome God. And God, this next week as we digest about you being here and now, give us glimpses and times to see that you are here with us. And that when you're here and now, anything and everything can happen through your power. Help us to live each day to seek your face, to follow you and to plan our lives out, not by ourselves, but to just focus your pattern for us. God, there's some of us here who are like that man that need a healing and need something, and we're just not sure, and you just say, hey, I'm my daddy's boy, and my father said, be opened. May somebody here be opened. May their hearts be opened to receive you as their Lord and Savior. They have this sin thing that kept them separated from you, but you came and you said, I paid that price on the cross. Just trust me. I know your diaper's dirty, but I'm tired of the stench. Let me clean it up. We love you, Lord. You're awesome. As we close the service out today in prayer and song, and as next week we get ready for God is great and God is good, next week's theme, we have our hearts in a period of thanksgiving to receive what you have for us. God, I know there's somebody here who just wants to pray and maybe a little bit afraid to step out. Give them the strength so that their lives can be changed here and now. You're telling them, I am here and now's the time to get it right with me. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Guides my heart.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, and how I need you. The sins run deep. Your grace is more. But grace is found is where you are. Christ in me, yes, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. My song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
All right, sing it out. We need you, Lord.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Let's just continue to stand where we are and pray. You know, I just feel like God is just moving powerfully right now in this place right now. And just, I know sometimes, Lord, we go through the entire week and not talk to you once so we get to church on Sunday, and then that's our time to have a conversation with the Lord. So, you know, I know there's something in our lives and my life, too, that we need to deal with, and we need to have you clean up, Lord. And we know that in the whole mess of it, that your love never fails, Lord.
Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Yeah. And higher than the mountains that I face, and stronger than the power of the grave, and constant in the trial and the change, the one thing remains.
Sing it out.
coming. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love's never ending. Your love's never failing.
Your love is never ending. Your love is never failing. Your love is never failing. Never gives up, it never runs out on me. Love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up,
it never runs out on me.
Yeah. Amen. All right, you guys have a great, blessed week. You know, I'll miss you guys next Sunday. I'll be in Germany, sorry. Maybe Jack will Skype me in, I don't know, but you know. Maybe I'll sing our God in German for you, but hey. Have a great week, guys. God bless.
Jesus, it's your blood. It's your blood.